News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid and conservative and just plain right. Well, listen, I got a piece of breaking news here. So I got the triple dipper. We're going to get to that. But I got some things that are happening right now that I think are worth noting. So I don't know if y'all are aware, but Boris Johnson, the Prime Minister of England, resigned today. Now, this is like, looking back, I'm trying to remember when anything like this happened to this level. I mean, this is like on par with for England as to what it was like when Nixon resigned. There were scandals, and rather than put the country through the scandals being investigated and tried, Nixon fell on his sword and decided to resign. Boris Johnson, Prime Minister of England, resigned today because he had what's known as a scandal-plagued administration. That's a huge. That's our greatest ally in the world, Great Britain. And when you think about what this means, the head of the government just resigned. Well, what does that do? That creates some disarray. It also creates an opportunity, because some would say that there were a lot of expectations that Boris Johnson was going to come in and be a conservative. In fact, it kind of felt like it was going to be the British Donald Trump. You know, with that wild hair and just kind of having the attitude of, you know, come at me, I got what you need. Didn't work out that way. In fact, here's the thing. Nigel Farage, and by the way, I had a chance to meet Nigel Farage in D.C., literally in a hotel bar. And there's a bunch of us at a conference. We're sitting out in the lobby, and the lobby was this huge, beautiful lobby at Trump Hotel in D.C. We were there for a conservative conference. And when I say bar, it's like the bar was kind of on the side. It wasn't like we were in a bar. It was like the lobby was this huge meeting area, a beautiful place. And all of a sudden, Nigel Farage comes walking by. And old boy was a hoot, let me just tell you. And he started saying, "Oh, you Americans, you're my favorites." He's just having a good time. We got our picture together. But he also gave one of the greatest political speeches I have ever heard when he led the charge to the British people to leave the European Union, the Brexit. Well, he gave a speech at the European Union that was just funny, sardonic, and very solid. I mean, he just told them like it was. But he spoke today, getting back to my main point, the breaking news, Prime Minister Boris Johnson resigns. And so Fox has got an interview with Nigel Farage. And he said this, he said that he believes, Nigel Farage did, that Boris Johnson's resignation as the British Prime Minister is going to spur a battle for the soul of conservatism in the United Kingdom. Listen to that. And here's his quote. He says, "I think what's going to happen now, there's going to be a battle for the soul of conservatism in this country, and I'll tell you why." He said, "Johnson was elected as a conservative, but he governed as a liberal. Massive commitments to net zero, that's green energy kind of stuff. Raising taxes, increasing the size of the state, that's growing government." He said, "To many traditional conservatives, he was unrecognizable as a conservative, so now he will have that wing of the Conservative Party who are effectively middle-of-the-road social Democrats against more traditional conservatives, and that's what the battle's going to be." And he said, "All I do know is if I look across the Western world, whether it's America, Britain, Australia, wherever we go, when conservative parties stop being conservative, guess what? They lose elections." Let me read that part again. He said, "I look across the Western world, whether it's America, Britain, Australia, wherever we go, when conservative parties stop being conservative, guess what? They lose elections." He said, "So I think this is a big moment for British conservatism. There's going to be a furious battle of ideas over the next few months." That's breaking news, but I also love the commentary on it. And I hope he's right, because I would love to see what I believe is going to happen in this midterm election coming up. I think first of all, there's going to be a red wave of people who are just sick to death of the policies coming out of the left, who have so overreached. They have so breached their left limits, if you will. They have so gone beyond the pale, and they have just beat us up like they had some kind of mandate. But I think it was more than them thinking they had a mandate. I think that the left believed that they had to get it while they could. And so they've been doing everything they can to bludgeon us into some, you know, level of acquiescence. But all that to say, I believe there's going to be a sea change in politics this coming fall. but it does not necessarily mean that everybody is going to be conservative. And so, like I said yesterday, we have to build that bench of conservatism. We have to recognize these opportunities, because opportunities, sometimes God gives you his will by opening a door and you can see the opportunities and you know it's a moment in time, you have to step into it. It is for such a time as this, if you will. And so that being said, I think we're staring at one of those times. Now, a lot of who's going to be elected this fall is baked in already. I mean, you already know who they are. The primaries have occurred. So unless, you know, somebody dies, drops out, or they find strange pictures in a drawer somewhere, the bottom line is those are the candidates for this fall. And we have some good ones. We really do. And we have some up for re-election that are solid, and I hope they become the future leaders of our politics. But we have some who, like Nigel Farage said, they are allegedly conservatives who have stopped being conservative, and they need to start losing some elections so that we can put conservatives in their place. And I'm hoping that's what happens in Great Britain, but I'm hoping that's what happens in Alabama and in the United States. All right, breaking news. Prime Minister of England has resigned. Interesting. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. More to come. Y'all stay tuned. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Copper, what am I going to do next week when I have to change the way I come back into every single segment because we're expanding into other stations? That's going to be crazy.
It's going to be a mouthful.
I don't know what I'm going to do. I mean, I'm going to come on and go abba-da-abba-da-abba-da-abba-da Right Side Radio. I don't know. I have to figure out my new.
You can alternate it. Well, coming back one segment, you could say you're on WVNN, and coming back the next segment, you could say you're on the other one.
I don't know. I don't know if they like that. I think there's a thing like, you know, don't say your name on my show. But I don't know. We'll see. Either way, it's going to be good. And yeah, folks, if you haven't heard yet, the big news for Right Side is just barely a year. Like July 5th was 1 year on the air. So we're 2 days past 1 year on the air. And, you know, well prior to that 1 year getting here, though, we already had contracts being formed and expansion. We've just built a new Right Side studio. I'm sitting back kind of agog right now. When Copper was talking earlier about all the tech, yeah, I'm swimming in wires as we set up the new studio. That's where I'm talking to you from, though. And if you happen to see the story in 1819 News yesterday, they did a story about the syndication and the expansion of the show. And you could see, you know, you can see me sitting in the new studio, and it's just surreal. It really is. But it's I owe it to all this audience. It never would have happened without y'all, and it's an honor to be here with you. Listen, more breaking news. I'm going to get to the Triple Dipper here in a minute, but there's more breaking news. A couple things really just kind of struck me today. Like, for instance, I'm sitting here, and we have two big flat screens on the wall, and right now I'm currently airing Fox and CNN. I mean, it's almost like the cold winds and the hot winds are blowing side by side. We may have a tornado right in the middle of the room because Fox and CNN are side by side on the screen. Anyway, all that to say, both of them had the president awarding the Presidential Medal of Freedom. And, you know, good on them, the recipients of the Presidential Medal of Freedom. The president has the authority to designate who he wants to give it to. I don't know that I've ever, and I could be wrong, you can correct me if I'm wrong, I don't know that I've ever seen the Presidential Medal of Freedom given to 17 people at one time. It almost feels like it just cheapened the whole thing. And then, of course, I couldn't help but notice that he made sure he checked all the demographic boxes. He was very proud to announce he had the first Native American. He was very proud to announce he had, you know, people from the black community, the white community, the Asian community. And it's like, okay, if you're going after demographics, just say so. Like, what did you do? Tell your staff, make sure you find me a black person who's done something really important. That's what it had to have been. And I don't mind that they got it. I just mind that the Presidential Medal of Freedom is like, I don't know, it's becoming almost like one of those unit coins that you throw down at the bar to get the next person to buy the round. It has that feel to it. I thought that kind of cheapened things. I looked at it and thought the Presidential Medal of Freedom should be like almost sacred. Like you award that so sparingly, that when somebody gets it, you know that it was special. 17 at one time in one ceremony. And by the way, they were very careful on CNN to point out that social justice activist so and so receives the President's Medal of Freedom, and you know it just had this feel that it was like, okay, let's go find all the liberals we can and make sure we check all the demographic boxes and give away that Presidential Medal of Freedom today. Giving away is right. Giving it away. Okay, enough of that. Next thing I will tell you, though, on an international story, breaking news today, the United Kingdom, the British Navy, in conjunction with the U.S. Navy, seized literally hundreds of cruise and surface-to-air missiles from Iranian smugglers today, literally. As they in the Gulf of Oman, British surveillance aircraft found small speedboats. And I say small. They had to have been pretty big because they had quite the haul, man. I thought, oh, they seized some missiles. No, they seized 358 surface-to-air missiles and 351 land-attack cruise missiles, not including the fact that they had any number of engines to outfit missiles that were in need of them. I mean, it was like parts, missiles, explosives, all of it. This was a haul. Anyway, that just happened today. British naval warship was able to interdict the boats with the assistance of the U.S. Navy. They had put small boats out with boarding teams, and they found literally, what am I looking at here, 709 missiles in those small boats they took over. They were en route to, where is it, Yemen, I think, has the Houthi rebels. Anyway, wow. All right, breaking news there. All right, we're going to number one of the Triple Dipper. Let me move on to the topics at hand. Number one of the Triple Dipper, border, what border? That's what I'm calling it. Border, what border? Well, a while ago, if you heard my opening monologue, you heard me talk about, I hate to say it, but a little deja vu. When you think about the contributing factors to the fall of Rome, and you look at some of what's happening in our own nation today, you have to go, ooh, wow. Story just dated 2 days ago. From Breitbart, titled, Red States Say That Biden Is Eroding American Sovereignty By Releasing Over a Million Border Crossers Into the U.S. One of the factors of the fall of Rome that I mentioned was the fact that they lost control of their borders, that there were literally there were mass migrations of whole tribes and subcultures across Europe that just began flooding into Roman territories. Sometimes they were fleeing things, sometimes they were looking for more resources, sometimes they were just moving. And that mass migration became so prolific that Rome lost control of its borders, and it became a thing that basically it overwhelmed their capabilities to sustain. It also watered down the Roman culture, and it began to fracture the Roman culture. Well, here we are. When I say border, what border? I'm looking at this article from Breitbart that starts off by saying, President Joe Biden is eroding United States sovereignty as his administration has released over a million border crossers and illegal aliens into American communities since he took office in January 2021. This is in an amicus brief that was signed by 17 states. An amicus brief, if you're not familiar, is when there's a case filed in court and somebody who's not in the case per se wants to make sure their voice or their ideas are heard. And so they file what's known as an amicus curiae brief, which Latin, I believe, stands for friend of the court, someone who is coming in as a friend of the situation to advise the court. Anyway, guess what? That was signed by officials from Alabama, Arkansas, Florida, Georgia, and a number of other states. So, yes, we were a part of that. Filed last week in a case against the Biden administration because of their seeking to drastically reduce arrests and deportations of illegal aliens. And let me just point out something. Immigration is what this nation was built on. We are the nation where we said, bring us your tired and your, you know, and basically the Statue of Liberty was put up as the light shining its way into New York Harbor for immigrants. And it was a thing that people saw. And oh, by the way, I've got family members that are naturalized citizens. I have no issue with that. But you know what? They came here the right way. That's the thing. They didn't come here sweeping across the border in the dark of night, overwhelming our systems, and then having a government that doesn't care anymore, literally bust them into the interior and just drop them off and say, good luck. That's not the way it's supposed to work. The article I've got right here from Breitbart goes on to say, as noted, Biden's Department of Homeland Security is using the little-known Humanitarian Parole Authority to release tens of thousands of border crossers and illegal aliens into the U.S. interior every month. Tens of thousands every month. Well, opinion in Newsweek that dates back to last fall. Opinion by a guy named Josh Mandel, or Mandel. Title of it is, and I've seen this phrase used in multiple places now, every state is now a border state. He says you don't have to live near the southern border to experience the fallout from record-shattering levels of illegal immigration. He says today, every state is a border state, and the ongoing crisis is making a mockery of the rule of law. He says it's not just Arizona, Texas, and New Mexico. He says my own home state of Ohio is affected too. He says, as Butler County Sheriff Richard Jones recently pointed out in a letter to President Joe Biden, illegal immigration afflicts the entire country, straining local resources for services like police, education, and health care. Month after month, there are hundreds of thousands of illegal border crossings as people from all over the world seek to take advantage of Biden administration's open borders policy. Well, and he goes on to say, it's obvious that Biden has rolled out the welcome mat, because he has. And he says, to the greatest extent possible, the White House has matched its beckoning rhetoric with active enticements and open borders. He talks about the fact that it's just difficult to watch this. He says he's a Marine Corps veteran, and he says, I see homeless veterans who made tremendous sacrifices living under bridges while the government uses tens of millions of our tax dollars to pay for illegal immigrants to stay in hotels. And it infuriates him, he says, when our own commander-in-chief condemns Border Patrol agents and vows to make them pay for enforcing the laws. But the thing that got me was the every state is now a border state. Don't think this is not where we are. When I was a state senator, we were dealing with the illegal immigration bill, which I'll talk about in a minute. It was HB 56, House Bill 56 in the year 2013. I told you before on the show it became the most contentious piece of legislation that I ever saw or was a part of. Not because I disagree with it, because so many other liberals disagree with it. They would rally in our state house hallways. They would, you know, elbow us and yell at us and try to keep us from going down the hall to vote. And it got to the point that it was ridiculous, and we had to call security multiple times. Anyway, all that bill really did, despite what the SPLC and the ACLU and what others said about it, all that bill really did was say, federal government, if you won't control the situation, if you won't follow your own laws, we'll just enforce them ourselves. Well, they didn't like that. But I remember in the midst of all that, being given a tour by law enforcement in one of my counties. And they took us through a community, and then we also met with the local school superintendent, who told me that at a time when he needed to hire more teachers, he actually had to forego hiring the teachers to hire interpreters. Don't tell me it doesn't strain the resources of where we are right now here in Alabama. It does. Come here. Fill out the paperwork and come here. Let's work out the system. Let's figure out why the system is so backlogged. Let's make the system work for those who want to come here for a better life. But you cannot say, you know what? We're going to look the other way while 500, 600 at a time come across the Rio Grande in the dark of night and risk their lives, and 50 of them die in the back of a trailer because of coyotes that are trying to traffic them in. We cannot continue down that road. It's exactly what happened to Rome. More on this when we get back. Copper, go ahead and move us to the break. When we get back, I'm going to tell you what the latest reports are saying about how many are coming across the border. And you may have already heard, then again, it may shock you. It ain't good. It ain't good at all. Border? What border? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back. Newstalk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid and conservative and just plain right. So, Copper, what were you saying a moment ago? We were during the break about the analogy you gave.
Well, people often excuse migrants breaking the rules at the border because they say, well, they're in need, you know, we should have compassion on them. I wish America could help everybody out there. But, I mean, it's like if you're running a soup kitchen and some guy charges in, kicks down everybody in line, grabs the soup, spills it on you, burns it, beats you up. I mean, would you want them to come back? Or would you say, okay, you know, you need to stay away until you can follow the rules and not hurt us and everybody else who's been waiting for our help.
Yeah, well, that's a great point. I mean, it's not a bad analogy either. And I tell you what else, let me add to it or make it a little different. What if you have a soup kitchen that you have been feeding the homeless with, and you know that on the average you're going to have, 50, 60 people there, right?
Yeah.
So you prepare food for it, and then all of a sudden the government decides, hey, look at that, a soup kitchen. And they bring a bus and a bus and a bus, and pretty soon they brought 300 people to your soup kitchen, and you can't sustain that. You have no idea how to feed them. That's what's happening in these small towns, especially on the border right now.
That's true.
Their hotels are overrun. Their restaurants are overrun. Their social services are overrun. They have people sleeping on the streets. They have people breaking into houses. And they just have people basically, wandering in and wandering out. And they don't know who they are. And it can be scary.
Yeah.
And these folks, by the way, these folks come here wanting a better life. So, like, use a soup kitchen analogy. The people in that soup kitchen analogy, they need something. And there's a resource that perhaps could be provided. But, going helter-skelter like you're talking about, is there's no means by which you can sustain that. So.
Yeah. I mean, and we only have so many resources to use to help other people. And it may not be the best solution, but right now our solution seems to be give out an average amount of resources to a lot of people. And you have to wait your turn until you can be one of those people, and rather than all of our resources going to one group that sort of demands it.
Yeah, and it doesn't mean that we're not a nation that is founded upon, the spirit of giving. In fact, I would say that we're a nation that gives till it hurts. And I think a part of having the heart of giving is you're willing to give even when it's hard to give, because giving is something that is honorable to God, something that is meaningful. And when you give beyond your usual means, it's like the widow's mite. It means something.
Yeah.
Well, I'm okay with us being a charitable nation that reaches out and has a hand of opportunity for people to grab hold of. But there's a vast difference in that and then having people smack the hand, or having 50 people grab for the hand while you were trying to reach for the one. There's got to be some order. And plus, I go back to the thing I said earlier. When you have no borders, do you really have a geographic country at that point? Lots to ponder on this. Hey, listen, let me jump into some of the art. So another one from Breitbart. Breitbart hit me up with a couple. This one dated July 5th. 476,000 migrant gotaways. Gotaways being the name they use when they see them, but they can't catch them. So 476,000 migrant gotaways recorded in 2022 so far. Wow. It says more than 476,000 migrants eluded apprehension by the Border Patrol this fiscal year. The total already eclipses the 389,000 gotaways from last year. So 389,000 total last year. This year, a little over halfway through the fiscal year, we're already at 476,000. It says the average migrant gotaway count recorded since the fiscal year in October remains at roughly 1,700 a day. By the way, the source that gave the information to Breitbart, it says this is a metric that is not usually released by Customs and Border Patrol. They got it. It's an internal metric. They don't like to release it. And Breitbart got it. According to the source, it says more than 7,000 migrants are arrested by the agency on most days. 7,000 a day are arrested. 1,700 a day get away. Large migrant groups are taxing Border Patrol resources, contributing to the increase in gotaways, as reported by Breitbart in Texas. In one Texas border town, 1,772 migrants were apprehended in one day. One day in one small Texas border town. In April, DHS Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas testified to members of the House Judiciary Committee that there were more than 389,000 gotaways last year. At the current pace, the total projected number will nearly double last year's count. Oh, golly. National Review had a piece, this came out last month, about 3 weeks ago. The number of migrants apprehended crossing the southern border hit a new record last month. 239,416 migrant encounters at the border in 1 month. You know when the previous record was set? The month before that. You know when the previous record before that was set? The month before that. It's exponential. It's every single month. 2 million migrants were encountered trying to cross in 2021 alone. Folks, I'm telling you, there is no border. I got more on this. Stay tuned. We'll go to the news. Be right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned.